Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. Today, you get the second half of The Aquamancer's Secret, written by Jeremy P. Madsen. Last week, we got to follow Taliana on her not-so-great start with the Aquamancer. I love the way Jeremy was able to find the perfect balance of cozy whimsy in this story while still having mystery and growing stakes that make the second half of the story well worth the wait. A lot of you have told me that you love listening to the podcast because the content isn't questionable, and you can safely listen to it with kids around or even let some of your older kids listen to all the episodes. That vision for safe, clean, or family-friendly stories is one that Jeremy is also a huge proponent of. So if that's important to you, I highly recommend checking out not just his books, but also the book reviews he has for other authors. For now, I know you're all wanting to hear how Taliana's story ends. Well, at least this short story. So please enjoy The Aquamancer's Secret, Part 2, by Jeremy P. Madsen. Green Vest Guy and the One-Armed Korok. "Okay, question," Taliana said one day.
"I'm not telling you my secret," Ilion said.
"I wasn't going to ask that," Taliana said. "I was trying to be more discreet," she added mentally. "Green Vest Guy, what's his deal?"
"Who?"
"Every couple weeks, you get a visit from a tall, well-dressed man in a green vest. You go over ledgers with him, talk in whispers."
"Confidential, I'm afraid," Ilion said. "And no, this secret is not the secret."
"Second question," Taliana said. "The One-Armed Korok. All our other suppliers just drop their crates off at the counter, but he gets to take his into the back, where, conveniently, he can unpack his wares without any customers seeing what's inside."
"He's an old friend," said Ilion. "He ships some high-priced specialty ingredients out of the Emerald Lake region. Gives me a slight discount in exchange for a good chat."
"I see," said Taliana, filing the information away. She had come to her own conclusions. She'd noticed that each time the One-Armed Korok came by, several empty bottles of rosewood powder were replaced with full ones. This, despite Ilion never using the ingredient in a single recipe. As far as Taliana knew, anyway. "A favor." "Twiggly," Taliana said one night, "I have a favor to ask."
"A favor?"
her cousin said, looking up from a length of twine strung between her fingers.
"Hold on, I'm almost at Snippin's cradle."
"Do you know how to spy on people?" Taliana asked.
"Sure,"
Twiggly said.
"Just finished an apprenticeship for a noblewoman, spying on her daughter at social dances."
That was horrifying, but Taliana had more important things to think about. "You have anything else you're up to?"
"I was thinking of stopping by the bear trainers tomorrow, see if they could use an assistant." "Yeah, probably a bad idea. My calendar's free. What do you need?"
"There's three people I want you to watch out for," Taliana said. She described the young pyromancer, the green vest guy, and the one-armed Korok. "If you spot them, follow them around. See what they're up to, who they visit, that type of thing. I'll pay you out of my salary."
"You can count on me,"
Twiggly said, attempting a salute with her hands still entwined, resulting in her ears getting entangled in the loops of yarn. "This better go better than the noodle incident," Taliana warned. "I still haven't regained all my tail hair."
"That was an accident!"
"Exactly." Prices and profits. Something had been bothering Taliana ever since she had started selling for Ilion. His prices. They were high. Not exorbitantly high, but higher than any other aquamancer in the capital. One day, while scrubbing the tables of the mixery, she cleared her throat. "Master," she said, "I have a question, if you don't mind."
"You'll have a question whether I mind or not, so you may as well ask it," said Ilion.
"You know Bartemu,
The Aquamancer down the street?
He
sells his strength tincture for only 3.5 shekels, Taliana said.
Said
Ilion, not looking up from where he was sorting seeds. I had a customer complain yesterday that charging 7 shekels was unfair, Taliana continued. Ilion hummed. Double the price. They worked in silence for a minute. So, Taliana said.
You think we should lower our price, said Ilion.
I think it would sell more if we did. Ilion paused, peering over his spectacles.
And what do you think we should lower it to?
Taliana moved to the next table. Maybe 4 shekels? She finally said. 4.5? Ilion didn't respond immediately.
Pricing, he finally said. A foundational business principle. Set it too high and no one buys. Set it too low and you can't meet your costs.
Yet we have to compete with the other Aquamancers, Taliana said.
You've seen the other shops, said Ilion. They proudly post their prices. Strength potion, 3.5 shekels. Ambrosia of agility, 2 shekels. Sleep aroma, 1.25 shekels. They each compete for the lowest price. Do I do that?
No, Taliana said. Ilion's prices were nearly always several shekels higher than the going rate.
How many strength potions have you sold this last week?
Taliana had tallied the ledger just that morning. 6.
I happen to know that last year, our friend Bartimew averaged 12 per week, said Ilion. Then Nakamans undercut his price, and Bartimew's sales plummeted. So he cut his prices even lower than Nakamans, and now he's back to selling 12 a week.
We could go even lower than him, said Taliana. I worked out the math this morning. Our ingredients only come to 2.5 shekels per potion.
So, we cut our price to 3 shekels, Ilion said. Customers flock to us. We sell maybe 20 potions a week. At 0.5 shekel of profit per potion, that's 10 shekels of profit per week. But remember, you'd have to triple the number of batches you make. Subtracting the additional labor costs, I profit maybe 8 shekels per week. Compare that to where we're at now. For the last decade, I have consistently sold 6 or 7 strength potions a week, every week, at 7 shekels per potion. Once we subtract your labor, that's around 25 shekels of profit, triple what it would be at the lower price.
But why do people still buy from you when you are double the price?
Because my potions work, Ilion said. Does Bartimew have the money to invest in a triple beam balance? No, he does not. So he gets the ratios slightly off. Can he afford to hire the best apprentices? No, he cannot. So the recipes are followed sloppily. And of course, does he have a little extra secret? An expensive one, I might add?
Ilion winked at her.
No. My customers pay a higher price, yes. But they get much more value. So you tell me, should I lower my price?
I guess not, Taliana said. She finished scrubbing the tables in silence, pondering what he'd let slip about his secret. An expensive one. It was the first real clue he'd given her in 5 months. On the trail.
I found Green Vest Guy, said Twiggly one evening.
Where? Taliana asked. They were having dinner together in the homeless shelter. The food quality had blessedly improved recently, though the roof had sprung a leak.
Southern District, Twiggly said. I followed him to an orphanage.
An orphanage?
Yep. He spent a few minutes inside, then left and visited a couple shopkeepers on Arbor Street. Spent a few minutes at each.
Then where did he go? Twiggly shrugged, biting into her apple.
I lost him.
He gave you the slip?
Something like that.
Taliana gave her an appraising look.
You got bored, didn't you? He just kept going into shops, talking with the shopkeepers for upwards of a quarter of an hour each, said Twiggly. I was getting hungry.
You're always hungry.
True.
Taliana pondered this intel. What was the man doing at an orphanage? Was he involved in Ilion's secret? Or was he just some sort of merchant or city official?
Good work, said Taliana, handing Twiggly a silver piece. Keep it up. And how about you? Twiggly said, pocketing the silver with a single fluid movement. Have you found the old man's secret yet?
I have some theories, Taliana said, but they're just that, theories.
What about his other secret?
Twiggly said. What other secret? Twiggly rolled her eyes.
Come on, cousin. Don't tell me you haven't done the math. The old man has a constant stream of customers. His potions are twice the normal rate. He only has a single apprentice to pay. His profits must be huge. We're talking thousands of shekels per year. Yet the old man has only half a dozen outfits, never travels, and sleeps in an upstairs room of his shop instead of a palace. What does he do with all that money?
The question followed Taliana all the way to bed. The more she learned about Ilion, the more secrets it seemed he had. An overheard negotiation. Most of Ilion's customers were either regulars, Taliana was beginning to learn some of their names, or tourists. The tourists would gawk at the old man's displays, excitedly ask all sorts of probing questions that Taliana couldn't really answer, and stick around hoping to catch a glimpse of the elusive old man. Sometimes they even bought something. Occasionally, a customer would come who was truly desperate. One morning, a young Evier woman was waiting outside the door when Taliana opened for business. Her hair was frazzled and her skin gray. Aviers, a species similar to humans but more delicately built, had hair and skin that visibly reacted to their emotions.
"Do you have a cure for Blackbane fever?"
the woman gasped as soon as the door opened.
"It's for my two daughters. They've been bedridden 2 days. Can't keep anything down."
"Aquamancy can't provide a cure for anything," Taliana said, quoting one of Ilion's common disclaimers as she returned to the counter. "But it can fight the disease and curb the fever, giving your daughters a fighting chance." Taliana looked the customer up and down, noting the simple dress and worn shoes. "Their best chance is Windsbane tonic, but I'm afraid it will be expensive." The lady's face faded to a deeper hue of gray.
"How much?"
she whispered. Before Taliana could respond, the door to the mixery opened.
"Tamethyst!" Ilion's voice called. "I'll talk to the lady. Send her back, if you please."
The woman disappeared into the mixery, her hands shaking as she clutched her purse. Soon, Taliana could hear the murmur of conversation. No other customers had arrived, so after a moment's thought, Taliana pressed her ear against the door of the mixery.
"The local apothecary," the lady was saying. "He gave me coriander for the fever, but it did nothing."
"Windsbane tonic is much more efficacious than coriander," said Ilion, his voice soft but firm. "But much more expensive, because the ingredients are extremely rare. Windsbane root comes only from the southeast edge of Canonbury. You'll need 3 doses per daughter."
"How much will it cost?"
the woman said, her tone desperate.
"For 6 doses? The ingredients alone cost me 75 shekels.
No response, except what sounded like a woman struggling not to weep.
"How much can you afford?"
Ilion asked, his voice so low that Taliana could barely hear it.
"All I have is 7 shekels, sir."
A pause.
"I'll sell it to you for 2.
That
was the day Taliana began to understand what Ilion the Estimable did with his profits. An overheard agreement. A week later, Taliana was just nodding off when a shrill whisper woke her.
"Taliana!" Twiggly cried. "Up! I found him!"
Taliana rolled over.
"Who?" "Your young pyromancer friend."
Taliana jumped up, hurriedly donning a vest and following her cousin out a window onto the roof of the shelter.
"Where?"
"Just three streets over. I think he's waiting for someone."
They scampered across moonlight rooftops, which at night were easier to traverse than the streets and alleys below. Taliana shivered, glancing up at where a dark orb hung in the night sky. She was almost never out at night. No one was often out at night. Night was the realm of the void, the domain of demons, darkness, and danger. When they arrived at their destination, the street was empty.
"Shadows," Twiggly hissed. "He can't have gone far. We'll split up. You go right, I'll go left. But be careful. This is a pyromancer we're talking about. Plundering buffaloes, why didn't I bring a knife?"
The snippin disappeared, scurrying into the darkness. Twiggly was the one saying to be careful? This did not bode well. Taliana glanced again at the void, hanging in the sky, and nearly lost her resolve. Then she took a deep breath and headed in the opposite direction. One block over, she peeked over the edge of a roof and froze. Two figures stood in the alley below her. One held a candle in his hand. No, that wasn't right. He held a flame in his hand, casually tossing it from finger to finger. He was the taller of the two, with his back turned to Taliana. The flickering light illuminated the face of the other, shorter man, the round-faced pyromancer with the brown hair.
"Look, you know I need your help,"
the round-faced pyromancer was saying.
"I've had this assignment for 4 months now. They're getting impatient, and I'm running low on money."
"How much is the job?"
The taller man's voice, deep and direct, cut through the darkness like a knife.
500 shekels, said the shorter man, "plus a budget for bribes."
The taller man huffed.
"I'm working gigs that pay 10 times that much."
"That's because you're working special jobs for the vizier himself,"
the shorter man said, with a hint of annoyance. The taller man passed his flame to his other hand.
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Look," said the shorter man, "I don't even care about the money at this point. I just want the job done so I can move on to another assignment."
"Fine," said the taller man. "But if we're doing this, we're doing it my way."
The light snuffed out, and the men started moving away. Taliana blinked, waiting for her eyes to adjust back to the darkness, then followed them, doing her absolute best to stay silent. By the time she reached the far end of the roof, the street beyond was empty. Pyromancers could move extremely fast when they wanted to. She huddled in the dark. What now? Should she go find Twiggly? Go back home? The short man's job was obviously to get Ilion's secret. He'd failed to bribe first Ilion and then Taliana. So he'd gone to someone else for help. She shivered, recalling the taller pyromancer's harsh voice.
"If we're doing this, we're doing it my way."
He did not seem like the kind of person to waste time. Her mind made up, Taliana started running toward Ilion's shop. Breaking and entering. By the time Taliana arrived at Ilion's shop, she had almost talked herself out of it. The shop looked perfectly normal. Was she jumping to conclusions? Acting too hastily? She leaned against the shop door, debating whether she should knock and wake the old man. Surely her news could wait until the morning, right? Then the door moved under the slight pressure of her paw, swinging open silently on hinges that had definitely not been greased the day before. She squinted up at the metal latch. It had been melted off. A crash and a stifled yell sounded from the mixery. Taliana scurried across the shop.
The mixery door was hanging ajar, the lock smashed. A faint light glowed inside, cut off intermittently by moving shadows. She stopped just outside the doorframe, listening with growing panic.
"There's nothing I can tell you."
That was Ilian's voice, tinged with pain.
"Please, just let me go."
A smack and a grunt from Ilian.
"Try again."
That was the short pyromancer's voice. "This doesn't have to be painful."
"I'm telling you the truth," Ilian whimpered. "There is no secret. I have specialized instruments, the finest apprentices, time-honed recipes. That's it."
The taller pyromancer's cold voice cut him off.
"I don't have time for lies, old man."
The room brightened with a flickering orange glow, and Taliana heard the crackle of flames.
"Perhaps losing a few of your recipe books will jog your memory."
"Be reasonable," said the other voice. "Start with his ledgers."
"There is no secret," Ilian pleaded. "I cannot tell you a secret that doesn't exist. Do you want me to make something up?"
"Wrong answer," said the low voice.
The orange glow flared as the crackle grew.
"No,"
came Ilian's cry. Taliana glanced around for a weapon. There was a loose piece of wood hanging from the underside of the countertop. But what then? Charge in with a stick to confront two highly trained pyromancers, each 10 times her weight? She should have gone for the night watch the moment she overheard that conversation in the alley. By now, it was too late.
"We're not ignorant," the shorter pyromancer said. "You're the only shop in the city whose strength potions are free of side effects. Your fever tonics kick in hours faster than your competitors. What is your secret?"
"Please, there is no—"
"Torch those ledgers behind you," said the low voice.
Another increase in the flickering glow.
"Please," Ilian said. "Will you kill me in the dead of night?"
"Of course not," said the low voice. "Just leave you standing outside a pile of ashes that used to be your shop if you refuse to cooperate."
Could Taliana find anything better than a stick? The mixery would have a fire poker and various knives, but she wasn't in the mixery. She was in the cellary, which only held potions, tinctures, and elixirs. Taliana hopped up onto a shelf, grabbing a bottle. It was too dark to read the label, but she had each shelf and shape of bottle memorized. With trembling fingers, she popped the cork and downed a gulp, then a second. Her mouth filled with the taste of cloves and cinnamon. Elixir of confidence. It started as a tingling in the tip of her tail, then swept through her like a raging tide. Her hands stopped trembling. Who did these ruffians think they were? Barging into her shop? Threatening her master? She would show them.
"I keep telling you," Ilian repeated. "There is no secret. You're going to ruin me for nothing."
Taliana hopped to a second shelf, popping a cork off a tiny bottle and downing half its contents in a single swig. Ambrosia of agility. This one would take a minute for its full effect to kick in. But already, she felt looser, more fluid, as she climbed to the next shelf and took a swig from a third bottle. Tincture of strength. Adrenaline surged through her body. Her muscles felt fit to explode as she grabbed a bag of powder, then leapt back to the ground. Reaching under the countertop, she grabbed the spar of wood and wrenched it free. The crackle of flames in the other room would likely mask the sound. So what if it didn't? Let these hooligans come. She was more than ready for them. Spear in hand, Taliana kicked open the door to the mixery. Ilian's Secret. A flaming pile of ledgers lit the room with flickering shadows. Ilian was backed against the far wall, the tall pyromancer in his face. The shorter pyromancer stood monitoring the burning pile. Taliana charged.
"We've got company,"
the shorter pyromancer warned, spinning to face her. Taliana hefted the bag of powder and threw it.
Normally, it would be an impossible throw for her, over 20 feet. But with ability and strength coursing through her veins, it soared across the room, missing the shorter pyromancer by a few inches, and instead crashing into the burning pile of ledgers. The pyromancer laughed. "You missed." "That was Heber nitrate," said Taliana.
"What?"
The bag exploded. The shorter pyromancer shielded his face as the blast knocked him off his feet and sent him crashing into a mixing crucible. Taliana charged the tall pyromancer, leaping effortlessly from one table to the next.
"Taliava, no!" cried Ilion.
Taliana leapt at the pyromancer, spar of wood aiming for his heart. He swatted her out of the air with a backhand. She tumbled across the floor, but came up on her feet. Laughing with bravado, she reached into a bucket of tools next to her and pulled out a long bronze knife, normally used for mincing herbs. The pyromancer drew a sword 4 times its length.
"You're no match,"
her master cried. Taliana circled her opponent, her 2 weapons outstretched. "My master is right, you know," she said. "You're no match for me." Ilion smacked his forehead.
"That's not what I..."
Taliana leapt forward, jabbing with her spar of wood. The pyromancer parried, then brought his sword down in a blow meant to cleave her in 2. She blocked with the knife, shunting the blow aside easily. Easily? Of course it would be easy. She had agility and strength on her side. She pressed into close quarters, where her opponent's sword would be ineffectual. He aimed a kick at her, but she ducked underneath it, then stabbed forward with her spar of wood, aiming for his knee. He leapt upward in a twist, fire trailing in the wake of his limbs, and aimed another kick at her as he landed. This one she also dodged.
"Ha!"
she cried. She was untouchable.
"Behind you!"
Ilion shouted. Taliana spun to see the shorter pyromancer coming at her with a sack. She ducked under a table, threaded her way between 2 storage jars, then grabbed the far edge and vaulted up to the top side. The shorter pyromancer was peering under the table, sack still in hand. She scampered forward, weapons ready to strike his face as he straightened, when the taller pyromancer's sword caught her square in the waist.
"No!"
Ilion cried. Taliana flew sideways from the impact, crashing into a scale and toppling with it to the floor. Her weapons flew out of her grasp. She lay on the floor, stunned, struggling for breath. The pyromancer's boot appeared in her vision, pinning her to the wreckage of the scale and forcing from her lungs the air she had just managed to gain.
"That was the flat of the blade," he said. "Try to be smart again, and you'll taste the edge."
He looked at the other human.
"Seriously, Hal, you almost got your face impaled by a snippin'."
Taliana pounded at the pyromancer's boot with her fists.
"I'll take you both on, you comma-spliced, poorly parsed, dangling excuses for participles!"
The 2 pyromancers exchanged quizzical glances.
"What did she say?"
said the one pinning her.
"I believe those were meant to be insults," said the other.
He was standing by the pile of ledgers, extinguishing the flames with convoluted movements of his hand.
"What is she? A deranged scribal student? She's the old man's apprentice. I think she overdosed on a confidence potion."
An audible click echoed through the room. The pyromancers looked up and froze.
"Let the snippin' go,"
came Ilion's voice, hard as steel. The pressure crushing Taliana's ribs vanished. She rolled over, wheezing for breath, and looked up. Ilion stood next to a set of shelves. His hands held a crossbow, cranked, loaded, and leveled.
"Taliania, come over here,"
Ilion said, keeping his weapon trained on the pyromancers. Taliana scampered through the wreckage littering the floor until she crouched at her master's side, still wheezing for breath.
"Now listen up," said Ilion. "You 2 are going to slowly back out the door. Exit my shop, and walk to the end of this street. This night never happened. You've never met me, and you will never set foot on this street again. Understand?
Silence.
Understand? Hal, you back out first, said the tall pyromancer. Are you? Do it.
The shorter pyromancer slowly edged his way to the door of the mixery, then turned the corner and disappeared. The taller pyromancer smiled.
Should have had me go first.
He raised his hand, unleashing a blast of fire that shot across the room. Ilion dodged to the side, the fire barely missing him as it exploded against the wall. Before the pyromancer could launch a second attack, Ilion recovered his stance, sighted down the barrel of the crossbow, and fired. The pyromancer knocked the bolt out of the air with his sword.
Taliada, run!
Ilion said, throwing the crossbow aside. Taliana stood rooted to the spot, her confidence now replaced with a wave of bewildering confusion. Where was she supposed to go? Just as she scampered into motion, the tall pyromancer snatched her by the scruff of her neck, holding her aloft like a kitten. His sword tip appeared at Ilion's chest, backing the man into a corner. Taliana heard the thump of boots as the other pyromancer returned.
That didn't take you long, he said. Listen up, old man,
the tall pyromancer hissed. He shook Taliana like a rag.
I can tell you care about your apprentice, even more than you care about your secret, or even your own safety. I know that because you failed to produce the crossbow until she was the one at risk.
Please,
said Ilion, his face pale.
She doesn't know anything.
She doesn't need to, said the tall pyromancer. But you do, and you're going to tell me what you know before I count to three, or you'll be getting a new apprentice very soon. One.
Don't tell them, master,
Taliana squeaked.
Two.
The sword tip began to move toward Taliana.
Rosewood powder!
Ilion gasped.
It's rosewood powder.
The sword tip froze.
Explain, said the tall pyromancer.
Rosewood powder,
Ilion said, his voice trembling.
It has to be specifically from Emerald Lake in Mitria. For a strength potion, 2 parts per 100. For a...
Write it down, barked the shorter pyromancer. Ilion stumbled over to a table, fumbling for parchment and quill. He began scribbling, his handwriting far removed from his normal, careful script.
Rosewood powder from the Emerald Lake region,
Ilion repeated.
It must be from there, and only there. The volcanic mineral composition of the water, combined with the residual essence from the Emerald Ley Line, imbues the rosewood with a uniquely high tetraphilic coefficient. A precise dilution, finely ground, will suppress most common tetrophic and anthropic side effects. I'll write the dilution ratios here.
For several minutes, Ilion scribbled line after line on the paper. The short pyromancer paced around the room, putting out any last embers or scraps of burning paper that had been knocked about in the fight. The tall pyromancer eventually put Taliana down on a table, though he kept a firm grip on her neck.
Make sure it's legible, old man, said the taller pyromancer, looking at the messy script, and accurate. We'd hate to have to return to correct any errors.
Taliana began to cry. Finally, Ilion set down his quill with a shaky breath.
There. That's everything your client needs to know.
The shorter pyromancer snatched up the vellum, eyes scanning the page.
Does it look legit?
The taller pyromancer said.
I already knew he imports rosewood,
the shorter pyromancer said. Quite a lot of it, apparently, and always from the same supplier. It's not a common ingredient in potions. I think we got what we need.
Good. Let's go.
The tall pyromancer finally released his grip on Taliana's neck as he moved over to glare down at Ilion.
I wouldn't bother getting the night guard. We won't be back. And if you try to report us, cases like this tend to get a little tied up in the Pyromancy Guild's courts. Your kind are a disgrace to the name of Mansory,
Ilion said, the spark of defiance back in his eyes.
You're welcome.
The two pyromancers strode to the door. The tall one elbowed his companion.
Told you.
We're never doing things your way again, said the shorter one. Then they were gone. Ilion rounded on his apprentice.
That was the most asinine, mutton-headed, and addle-pated act of lunacy I have ever seen, he said. Did the university teach you nothing? Did 4 months of apprenticeship go wasted? Aquamancy enhances, but it does not make the impossible possible. A strength potion makes a weak man strong, and a strong man stronger. But does it turn a snippin into an unstoppable warrior, capable of taking down 2 highly trained pyromancers? No.
I had to do something, Master.
You downed a confidence potion and charged into battle like a berserker, Ilion said. Did my training fall on deaf ears? A couple drops of confidence can transform performance. But too much, especially in life and death situations, can urge people to take insane risks. You could have gotten us both killed.
The reality of the evening began to catch up to her, and Taliana began to sob.
But your secret. I had to. Yet in the end, you still gave it up. All because of me.
Drat my little secret, said Ilion. Up on your feet and go fetch the night watch. I'll start cleaning up this mess.
Aftermath. Fetching the night watch proved to be quite useless. To their credit, they tried. Ilion was a well-known and well-respected shopkeeper, and an attack on his shop was an embarrassment to their job. They putted around the store, helping him tidy up and vowing to catch the men responsible. But privately, the watch captain confirmed what Ilion and Taliana already knew. Any investigation would be in the Pyromancy Guild's hands, and the guild protected its own. After the night watch left, Ilion and Taliana assessed the damage. The locks to both doors would need replaced. Nearly all of Ilion's ledgers had been burned. Luckily, most of his recipes were written on baked clay tablets, which had survived the fire unscathed. Most tragic was his triple beam balance, smashed to pieces in the fight.
I was an idiot,
Taliana said, as she hopelessly tried to reassemble the broken and bent pieces of metal.
Replacing this will cost a fortune. I'll work an extra year for free to pay it off.
Don't be selfish, said Ilion. Stay on another year and rob another student of their chance for an apprenticeship?
Then I'll pay it back, Taliana said. Soon as I have the money, I'll...
It's not your fault, Ilion said, kneeling next to her. I mean, it sort of was. But you had good intentions, even if your execution was as ill-conceived as a horseradish eating contest without milk on hand.
He stood up.
I'll order a new scale. It will take several months to arrive. So in the meantime, we will need to double weigh everything on 2 separate balances to approximate its precision.
Of course we will, Taliana thought with a sigh.
Theories and realizations. Word quickly spread of the attack on Ilion's shop. For a couple days, there was a steady stream of visitors, both tourists gawking at the melted lock on the front door, and many of Ilion's loyal customers coming to give their condolences. For a week or two, there was a great deal of bluster between the city chancellery and the Pyromancy Guild. Ilion's was a well-loved name, and public pressure demanded justice. The guild paid Ilion a handsome sum, 200 shekels, a tenth of the price to replace his scale, not to mention the rest of the damage, and promised it would investigate. There were some high-profile arrests of various pyromancers in the city, until within a day each had proven their innocence with an alibi and were released. The guild promised that its investigation was continuously unfolding. Taliana took that to mean it was written on a piece of paper that was unfolded by a clerk once a month or so, laughed at, then folded and put back in a drawer. Things gradually returned to normal. except that with the extra time it took to measure everything twice, Taliana had to come to work a half hour earlier. She did notice one change. Ilian's one-armed supplier started coming by more often. She brought it up one morning.
"You find it odd?" Ilian responded.
"I find it coincidental," Taliana responded, watching him for any clue in his facial expression. "Oddly coincidental."
"Hmm,"
Ilian hummed. When it was apparent no elucidation was forthcoming, Taliana cleared her throat. "I have a theory."
"Hmm?"
"About your secret." Ilian flipped both lenses of his spectacles up to look at her.
"You were there when I was interrogated," he said. "You know my secret now."
"That's just it," said Taliana. She gestured to the shelf of rosewood bottles. "I've been here 7 months now. I've helped you make every batch we sell. Yes, often you send me out of the room as we reach the end of a recipe. But there's always been batches where I'm present, from start to finish. And normally I'm out of the room for only a few seconds. There's no way you've been sneaking rosewood powder into our recipes for 7 months without me noticing. Especially since I know you would never add something without weighing it to the hundredth of a shekel first."
"Hmm,"
Ilian said, a hint of a smile appearing on his face. "There's more," Taliana said. "I've done the calculations. With how much rosewood you said you add to your recipes, you should be only going through a bottle a week. Yet your supplier has replaced 25 empty bottles with full ones in the last month. 25 bottles in a month? That's a lot of rosewood powder." Ilian's smile grew slightly bigger.
"So, your theory?"
"It's a ruse," Taliana said. "A complete and total lie. Rosewood powder is practically useless, but you did a great job of talking it up. Titrophilic coefficient? That's a fringe aquamancy theory that was debunked over 70 years ago. Ley line interference? Another controversial theory, popular only among unified model proponents. You invented the rosewood powder story as a cover, and I'm guessing this isn't the first time you've leaked it. Throughout the city, several different aquamancers must be buying bottles of the stuff, all trying to figure out the magic ratios that will make their potions as effective as yours. Your secret demands they need rosewood powder, specifically from the Emerald Lake. And I'm guessing there's only one source in the city where they can get it. The one-armed Korik." Taliana glanced at the bottles of powder. "You need a cover to maintain the illusion. So the one-armed supplier uses your store as a depot. When he gets a new shipment, he drops it off here. Then, as he distributes individual bottles to your competitors, he drops off the empty bottles here and exchanges them for full ones. Anyone observant enough will see him visiting your shop and assume he's selling you the powder, and lots of it."
"Impressive deduction, Tapioca," said Ilian.
"There's just one thing I don't get," said Taliana. "Of all the substances out there to claim as your secret, why rosewood?" Ilian stared into the crucible he was stirring.
"Four reasons. First, rosewood is completely harmless. It is one of the few substances that can be added to pretty much any mixture with near impunity. Deceiving my competitors is one thing, but I would hate for any civilians to suffer for it. Second, rosewood is known to occasionally suppress common side effects. But it's completely random. No one's been able to find any pattern to it. So my competitors go crazy, tinkering with the dilution amounts, getting just enough random positive result to keep them from giving up. Some have been experimenting for decades now. Third, rosewood is an expensive ingredient, but not too expensive. Pricey enough to hurt my competitors' pocketbooks, but not so pricey as to bankrupt them. Fourth and finally, the supplier agreed to give me a cut of the profits for every rosewood bottle he sells. It's become quite the source of extra income."
Taliana stared at him, in shock at how brilliantly manipulative the old man was. Then she fell off her stool, laughing. Roofs and pudding cakes. Taliana had found out one of Ilian's secrets. 3 weeks later, she discovered another one. Her cousin poked her awake one night.
"I found him,"
Twiggly hissed. "Not again," Taliana moaned, pulling the blanket over her head. "Last time you ditched me, and I almost got killed."
"Not the pyromancer, you nitwit,"
said Twiggly.
"Green vest guy. He's here, at the shelter."
Taliana sat bolt upright. "What? Why?"
"Don't know. He's meeting with the Grand Matron."
The Grand Matron oversaw the shelter's operations. She was a kind-hearted, well-intentioned woman, though the stress of her position often made her irritable. Taliana followed Twiggly until they reached a hallway bordering the Grand Matron's office. Twiggly gestured to a small hole in the wall where Taliana could eavesdrop.
"Mighty good of him," the Grand Matron was saying. "I know I say to tell him that every time, but really, we would have to close our doors without his support."
"I'll make sure he knows,"
said a voice Taliana recognized as belonging to Green Vest Guy.
"But that's not the only reason I came by. The benefactor heard about your roof issues. He wanted to know how much you would need to repair the whole roof."
"The whole roof?"
the Grand Matron said.
"Dearie, dearie, I haven't even sought out a quote for that. It's been so out of the question. Probably around 180 shekels, but that's an enormous sum. I couldn't dream of asking."
Taliana heard the familiar clink of silver in a large bag.
"Here's 200,
Green Vest Guy said.
"If that's not enough, the benefactor said he'll cover the rest. Oh, and he said this particular donation is courtesy of the Pyromancer's Guild, of all places."
"Thank the stars. I'm sure we won't need this much,"
the Grand Matron said in between sniffs.
"We'll return any left over."
"He said that any extra you can use to buy pudding cakes for your residents,"
Green Vest Guy said.
"Specifically, pudding cakes, mind you. He insisted on that point."
Taliana smiled, sneaking back to bed. She had heard enough. An accounting. 2 weeks later, Taliana showed up to Ilian's shop with a box of pudding cakes.
"This is quite the surprise,"
Ilian said, selecting one.
"Wherever did these spring from?"
"The funniest thing," Taliana said. "A mysterious benefactor paid for our shelter to buy cakes for everyone. We had quite the party last night to celebrate our new roof." Ilian said, turning to walk back to the mixery. "Master," Taliana said. Ilian stopped and turned.
Thank
you. He shrugged.
"There's work to be done. We need 3 batches of..."
"I wasn't finished." Now she had his full attention. "My cousin and I have been following your friend, the man in the green vest. It appears he manages a charity fund, receiving donations from well-to-do shopkeepers and passing them along to institutions for the poor." She shuffled her feet. We may have snuck into his office yesterday and glanced at his ledgers.
And what did you find?
"Master," Taliana said, "you are single-handedly funding half the homeless shelters in the city."
"Half?"
He winked.
"Still want me to cut my prices?"
2-for-1 special. Taliana only had a month left in her apprenticeship when a large crate arrived from Larissa.
"At last,"
Ilian said as soon as the courier had left. He eagerly opened the crate, which was packed with grain to protect whatever was inside. Reaching in, he pulled out a new triple beam balance.
"No more double weighing,"
he announced, seemingly even more excited about that prospect than his apprentice.
"No more approximations. No more subpar results.
We're back in business, Talietta.
Something caught Taliana's eye. She reached into the crate, fishing around in the grain, until she pulled out a second triple beam balance.
They sent us two, she said in surprise.
She looked at Ilion. Did you order two?
Of course, Ilion said. That one is yours.
Mine?
Taliana stuttered.
You'll need one when you start your own shop, Ilion said. Typically, you can get a loan to cover most of your upfront costs, but few bankers will finance a 2,000 shekel scale that most experts would label overkill.
But it costs a fortune, Taliana said. 2,000 shekels.
They're getting cheaper over the years, Ilion said, and the manufacturer gave me a 2-for-1 special. I think this one was only 1,700.
He didn't get any farther before Taliana wrapped his legs in a hug. A question and a story. The last day of Taliana's apprenticeship was a bittersweet moment. Ilion announced they were taking the day off from both mixing and selling. Instead, they would deep clean. This involved pulling out the contents of every shelf to clean and scrub the wood. The work was strangely enjoyable, and it left plenty of time to talk. Ilion grilled her on everything she had learned that year, how to adjust recipes based on humidity, air pressure, and other factors, how to discern which suppliers to trust and which to avoid, the proper instructions and safeguards for even the most obscure potions.
You have learned well, Ilion said after 3 hours, and now it's your turn. Ask me a question. Any question you like.
Any question? Taliana said.
Any question.
What is your secret? Taliana said instantly.
I thought you'd figured that out already, said Ilion. My secret is a false front. The rosewood powder, the obscure objects at the front of my store, the rumors. It's all an elaborate ruse.
But what they say about your potions is true, Taliana said. They do work better than anyone else's. More potency, fewer side effects. I know there's a new theory going around the university about a placebo impact, but that alone can't explain how well your potions work. You still have a secret.
It took Ilion several minutes to reply, as he scrubbed quietly at the inside of a shelf. Finally, he took a deep breath.
Let me tell you a story. I was much like you early in my career. Bright, intelligent, cheeky to a fault.
Thanks, said Taliana.
I was ambitious, and I worked hard. By age 23, I had my own shop.
Ilion gestured around him.
This shop. And I did everything to make it succeed. I burned the midnight candle. I took out loans. I never took a day off. Do you remember our discussion about pricing?
Taliana nodded.
I relentlessly cut costs until I could offer the lowest price. And customers flocked to me. Business was booming. I was selling hundreds of potions a day. But I had to make those hundreds of potions each night. I began to grow sloppy. I didn't label things carefully. I lost track of when ingredients expired. I skipped calibrating my scales. One morning, a customer came for an aroma of sleep. I was all out of ingredients for the aroma, so I offered to make them a tincture instead.
Taliana felt her gut twist. There was a reason aromas of sleep, which filled the room with a sleep-inducing mist, were strongly recommended over anything ingested.
The customer agreed. I had to make it on the spot, and other customers were waiting. My recipe tablets were so unorganized. I couldn't take the time to find that particular recipe. So I went off of my memory. It had probably been 2 years since I'd made one. I also didn't want to create a full batch, seeing this was the only tincture of sleep I'd likely sell that month.
so I was doing the math to cut the recipe by a fifth. And since I was in a hurry, I skipped the scales and measured only by sight. I figured the amounts were about right.
Oh no, Taliana said.
Ilion had stopped cleaning now, his eyes lost in the past.
By my best estimates afterward, I added 3 or 4 times as much seraphenin as the recipe required. The patient took the tincture that night to help them sleep. The next morning, they were dead.
Ilion began nervously fidgeting with the pockets of his coat.
There was an investigation. By rights, I should have been imprisoned and banned from ever practicing again. As it was, thanks to the intervention of the Aquamancy Guild, I only had to pay a fine to the patient's family. But I was a complete wreck. I had put profits in front of people. In my haste and greed, I had broken rule after rule meant to keep people safe. And someone was dead because of me. Never again, I swore. Never again would I lose sight of why I am an Aquamancer. To serve. To ease pain. To give strength. To heal injury.
Ilion began cleaning again, a new energy in his movements.
I rose from the lowest point of my life with a new commitment. I would go to the greatest extreme, incur the greatest investments to make my potions as safe, as potent, and as reliable as they could be. For a year, I interned at the finest aquamanceries of the Empire, observing their techniques, comparing their equipment, interviewing their masters. Then I completely overhauled my shop. I invested in the finest tools. I designed and built the extensive sorting system that you see today. And I practiced. I practiced over and over again to redefine the meaning of precision.
He gestured around his impressive shop.
This is my secret, Taliana. I have the finest potions because I have worked nonstop for 63 years to make the finest potions. But the motive has always been constant. Love. Love for my craft. Love for my customers. Love for the lives my potions change. Love for the impact I'm able to have on the world because of what I do. My potions work because I am precise. But that precision is born out of love.
The old man knelt and placed a hand on Taliana's furry shoulder, looking deep into her eyes.
That is my secret, Taliana. And now it is yours.
Ilion's sign. Again. Taliana lay awake for hours that night, thinking of Ilion's words. Twiggly's snores didn't help. The next morning was a momentous day. Her family was finally moving into a new burrow. Taliana helped them transport their smattering of possessions, but she herself would not be joining them. She was off to a town in the eastern provinces, where she had arranged to take over the practice of a soon-to-retire aquamancer. Twiggly was setting off on her own, too. Something about a raptor-hunting expedition in the mountains. She still hadn't returned Taliana's charcoal pencil. After everyone was settled in, Taliana hugged her siblings, her cousins, her aunts, her uncles, and her parents. What, you didn't think she had parents just because I hadn't mentioned them yet? This is a short story. I have to leave out non-critical details. Then, hauling a cart with a very pricey item packed carefully in grain, she set off toward the docks, where a riverboat would take her to the next chapter of her life. She chose a route that took her past a familiar shop on Renner Street. Her eye went straight to the sign above the door. It had been newly painted that morning. Ilion's Aquamancery. Potions, tinctures, ampersand, elixirs. Taliana shrugged. At least he left the apostrophe curly. I hope you enjoyed listening to The Aquamancer's Secret, Part 2, by Jeremy P. Madsen, narrated by Corinne Norton. If you want to read more by Jeremy, go to jeremypmadsen.com to find more of his books. Don't forget to check out his debut novel with a scheming politician, set piece battle sequences, lots of magic, and a ragtag band of sky pirates. I'll have a direct link to it in the show notes, where you can read the first part for free or listen to it narrated by the author. Speaking of author-narrated stories, sorry, that was a really awkward transition, but I have to remind you that my debut novel, Blood of the Stars, is almost completely released on its own separate podcast. I think there's maybe 7 or 8 more weeks, and then there will be 90 full chapters of epic fantasy goodness out there for free for everyone to listen to. So go find it at corinnenorton.com/audio. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.